Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America. It's time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your host, the talented, the handsome, oh, the oh-so-lovely Christopher Froelich, and our topic today is a fantastic book. A book? Yes, a book. Those things that you read with pages and not an online blog. Whew. Guys, get off your Tumblr, get off your Facebook, and come down here and listen to me. I am talking about a great book. It's by Sarah Reese Renan, and it's called The Demon's Lexicon. It starts with the opening line, and it's an awesome beginning, guys, because it really serves the book. This line is significant in a way it shows how the abnormal coexists with the normal in this world. Basically, what I'm saying is it keeps a really great balance between normal and abnormal. It's not like one of those like left ball books that just kind of like, oh, okay, this is completely out of the normal. I am not into this at all. It's kind of like, you remember that book, The Tiger's Apprentice, that I talked about previously with Mr. Ho and the gang? It's kind of like that, only it's about demons, which, you know, I'm not a big demon fan, but I like books about them. See, I don't like ghosts. I'm not a big ghost guy. Like, I'll go see a scary movie, but if it's got ghosts in it, no, you can count me out. That stuff scares me. It just gives me the willies. Like, and I get nightmares, then I can't go to sleep, and that just causes paranoia. And it's a whole ball. It's just awful. It takes a lot of funny TV and, like, stuff like that for me to start getting off the whole, okay, I'm not going to get murdered in my sleep and get possessed. All right, here we go. I can go to sleep. Nope. Now I'm starting to think that somebody's going to possess me. I'm going to spit out pea soup. No, see, can't do those things. But, you know, this book is scary, but it's not too scary, and it has a lot of comical relief. So it allows you to kind of just, you know, like, settle in. And, you know, the abnormal coexists with the normal in this world. This book was good, and it was very addictive, as you could tell from my excitement in this. I couldn't really put it down until I either passed out or until I finished the book. The author balances the book of normal and abnormal so well that they almost share a symbiotic relationship in the novel, especially among the characters. The characters in this novel were what really got my attention. I really liked the characters. They were so dynamic. They were so well put together, and they really had a very, like, well put together personality, personal. Like, you could understand, like, all of a sudden you'll start reading through the book, you'll get like halfway through and you'll be like, oh yeah, that makes sense why he's doing that, and, you know, he would do something like that. Guys, when you read a book and you start thinking stuff like that, or stuff like that starts coming to you, or you start thinking like the characters outside of the book, you know it's a good book. Like, immediately right there you should just be like, oh, sick book, maybe I'll read it once or twice. Yes, you can actually read a book more than once. Weird, right? So they were really well put together. They were very alive to me, very alive. That even after I was done reading about them, I would still contemplate them. You know, I just like again, Tiger's Apprentice, love that book. Always thought about Mr. Ho. I was like, ah, that's something Mr. Ho would say or something like that. Like, even when my teachers would be talking and I have this one really, really like down to earth teacher who's like, he's really chill, but he's like very kind of like strict down to earth. You're like one of those guys that kind of like, hey, you know, you guys do what you want. Like, if you don't want to do the work, don't do the work. But, you know, you're going to get the grade that you get in this class if you don't do the work. So, like, I mean, I'm personally one of those kind of guys. I'm a college guy, I guess. And I really like when a teacher's like, you know what, you want to do this, do that, do it. But, you know, this is how your grade's going to suffer. I mean, obviously there's boundaries of, like, you can't cuss and, like, you can't say mean things. And you can't go, hey, I don't like this kid, right in the face. It's a problem. That's going to cause some violence and some uneasy feelings among other students. But at the same time, like, I kind of like it that you can just kind of, like, it's a free range, do what you need to get where you want to go. For example, like, if I'm going to my math class, like, I don't feel like I should have to go if I still have an A in the class. Sorry. Scottsdale Unified School District, personal opinion right here, not a happy fan, especially with AZGov. Why take that class? I don't want to know about AZGov. I have no interest in it. I'm sorry. But that, you know, sorry guys, tangent. You know me. You love me. So I guess you guys are going to have to deal with it. Continuing. But enough about how I felt about the book and my random off tangents. Let me give you a review that you've been waiting for. Okay, so there's 16-year-old Nick is the main character. It's kind of a third-person narrator of the story, by the way. The only character who honestly has a point of view. Everyone else seems to be kind of like mix-matched and kind of just like I'm kind of like this, and I feel that way, and I feel this way, but I don't really know. And you don't really get a real like sense of who the person is. I mean, you can understand them, and you feel with them, and you get the emotions, but you don't get like the whole personality. You get the bread, you get the peanut butter, and you get some of the jelly, but it's not all of the jelly, and it's not all natural, so you don't really like the sandwich that much, but you deal with it, and it's a great sandwich anyway. This guy, on the other hand, he has everything that you want. He even puts a little bit of sprinkle of, like, powdered sugar on. He's a great character. He lives with his eccentric mother, Olivia, and his older brother, Alan. They try to live at somewhat of a normal life as much as they can, but their abnormalities completely outweigh the normal ones tenfold. Olivia happens to be a magician. A human born with magic with, of course, magical powers. Magician, sick. Oh, I'm already attracted to this book. I was like, oh, magician? Yes. Demons? Yes. Murder? Yes. Mystery? Kind of. But there's a lot of action and scariness. Bring it to me. Full. Let's go. So, anyway, mainly with the power to... She mainly has the power to communicate with demons. Scary, again. Not a big fan of demons, but when I like started reading more about it, and it was a little more scary, kind of mystical, kind of... I was like, oh, okay, these aren't like super hardcore, like... demon, the devil, rah, 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 kind of stuff. And I'd be like, no, I don't like that. This one's more, like, demon, like a mythical sense, kind of like old and like, I wouldn't say old Norse, but it's like some type of derivation from what the, normal demons are portrayed as. So it didn't scare me as much. I didn't feel threatened at all. I mean, if you don't feel threatened at all in the beginning, so, I mean, this is going to be a great book for you anyway, but, you know, me, again. Again, I mean, I'm not a big demon fan movie. Ghosts. But anyway, she can talk to demons, and being that they live in the world that they hate, will do anything to possess, promise, or seduce to get into ours, to get even a small measure of what it's like to be a human. So these demons do anything they possibly can to try to seduce us, to try to get us to like, hey, I'll make all your wildest dreams come true if you let me possess your body. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get a pony now. No, you're going to have your head twisted in 360, and then somebody's going to try to exercise you. You didn't really think that one through, did you, when you wanted your pony? No, I did not. Think before you act. There's a lesson for you. So magicians who want more power will usually open circles to bring them in, and they help them possess and mark humans. And unfortunately, once you have three marks, that's it, you're dead. I guess that comes from the whole three strikes, you're out rule. But no, not really. But there's a lot of just like if it marks you three times, it possesses you three times or something like that, you're done. You're dead. You're dead. SOL, my friend. So out of luck. Nick, Alan, and Olivia have been on the run all their lives due to Olivia, who was once, you know, guys out there, girls are always the problem. It's never easy with them. No. Never. She's always going to be the problem. Just kidding. Girls out there, this is a girl-friendly show. Of course I wouldn't just hate. I ain't a hater. So anyway, so Olivia, who once stole a magic amulet from a very powerful magician who's been trying over the course of like 10, 15 years to try to get it back. Sadly, Nick and Alan's father, there's usually a father involved, died protecting them from a magician in the same night that Alan was crippled. Yes, Alan is a cripple. Nick, in the main warrior in the family, fights demons with his sword and knives and will do anything, and I mean anything. He will put a sword through his chest to kill the demon behind him to prevent his brother from getting hurt and to make sure do anything to keep Alan safe, as a good brother should. Alan, although seeming powerless, is not powerless at all. He's a mean shot and never, ever misses. It's kind of like that movie Wanted. He can just curve a bullet and he can pop it. He just, not even look. Ooh, I hit Angelina Jolie. Yeah, let's see you make another movie about that. I didn't think so. Anyway, yeah, so he never misses. Together, these two work to keep their mother safe. Although Nick often muses that they would be better off if she was just dead and they would quit. Yes, that's right. The kid often thinks sometimes and speaks to Alan that their mother should just die. So you can see this book just have a dark tendency. It's not so difficult to understand why, though, since Olivia seems to truly deeply hate Nick, her own son. She doesn't even look at him. So, anyway, guys, let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froelich. Keep it right here on Voice America Kids Network. And I'll miss you.
stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m., whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3, that's 6 p.m. Eastern, is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program, Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Chris Rolick. Yes, yes, that's exactly who I am. Oh, I have so many fans. I knew you would know me. Our topic today is the book The Demons of Lexington by Sarah Reese Renan. Great book, guys. Let's do a little recap like we usually do. To sum this up, The Demon Lexington starts with an opening line. It's a great opening line. It's a demon book. It's about demons. It's a scary kind of, it's a hardcore emotional book. It's great for teens. Anybody from the ages of like 15 and up is going to love this book. If you're a little bit younger but like more mature on the inside, I'm not going to judge you by chronological age. It's all about the mental age. I have firm belief in that. But yeah, it has a very great, it keeps the balance of abnormalities and normalities together, and it has very, very, very dynamic characters, and I love it. I mean, there some characters like Alan and Olivia, I mean, like, you get the whole gist of them, and you understand, like, okay, I see their emotions, I understand them, and, like, you really, you feel for them, but you don't get that same feeling with Nick. Nick is, on the other hand, although he, third-person narrator too, which kind of helps you really understand this guy anyway, but Nick really just, you get the whole idea with him, and you get the emotions, you get the feeling, you get the whole package with this guy when it comes to a character. The author, Sarah, did a really great job when it came to Nick. She really portrayed him as this dark individual, but still caring and loving person for his brother, while he still has these, like, hating conflicts with his own mother, Olivia. So it's, I personally love the book with this character, Nick, but I don't know. You can find out for yourselves. And it's not that long of a book. It's only like 465 pages, but it's not that long. I promise. It's only 4.65 times 100. Yeah. It's not that bad. It's like The Hobbit. Anyway, so back to where we were off. I was talking about how Nick and Alan's father died protecting them from a magician. Alan he's crippled from the fight. I'm not going to tell you how. I'll let you read for your own. Nick is a warrior, and he's really good with fighting demons with his sword and knives, and will do anything. And guys, again, I mean anything to make sure that his brother Alan is okay. Alan, you might think, oh, he's crippled, he's going to be a little useless. Wrong. He's like that guy from Wanted. He's the Matrix guy. He's got two Desert Eagles, 45 cal. He's going... He's hitting every target spot on between the eyes. You're wondering, how does a guy have two hand cannons in his hands and is still hitting targets? Don't ask questions you don't want answers to. He's still doing it, and he's great at it. They should make a movie about him. He's supposedly so good. Again, it's a book, never real life, but hey. So do anything, he's not powerless, never miss a shot. Although Nick often he muses that he'd rather... So this is a really... The sad part is it's kind of... while it is a very normal book in some senses, it gives a whole great family, the family of trust and how brothers should act or do act sometimes when it comes to these situations and you're put in these situations, how two brothers will come together and they become such an unbreakable bond. Well, another reason is because there's something dark behind it. Their mother, Olivia, Nick hates, and when I mean hate, despises, and Olivia has the same feeling for him, which is really sad that a mother and a son will hate each other at this extent. It's even so bad that Nick often muses that he would rather have they'd be better off if his mother was just dead, because it's because of her that they're in this whole messed up situation, because she's a magician. And a lot of these magicians like conjure up demons and things like that, and to use these demons to become more powerful. Unfortunately, when you raise these demons up, they mark human beings. For example, like if they mark me, they possess me and things like that. And if they do that three times, I'm dead, and I'm gonna either go to hell or I'm gonna go to heaven or whatever thing that they believe or you believe. Anyway, but so. She's kind of the problem with this, and then she stole a magical amulet from this super powerful magician who will go unnamed, and because of this, he's following them, and he's calling demons upon them, and she's just causing a lot of trouble, and Nick knows that she's causing trouble, and he really firmly believes that it's because of her that they're having all of these troubles, and that without her, they'd be better off, which, you know, it's not going to be the case when you read further on in this novel, and that they all really have a role to play with each other. So Olivia, so it doesn't matter anyway, but she doesn't even look at him anymore. Olivia doesn't look at all at Nick, but it really doesn't matter to him anyway. I don't think I ever read a book from the point of view of such a cold, angry, harsh character, but once again, guys, he's just so well portrayed as this, and he's just well written, and all the emotions and feelings and of a just a cold, angry, harsh character is just great. One who even wishes that his own mother should be dead nonetheless, that's a dark guy. But Nick's narrative is bleak and joyless, although not humorless. He has some dark sarcasm. Sometimes all he can think of is to kill and maim. Sounds like a fun guy to hang around, right? But no, he's pretty good. He seems to be only to be able to understand lust. This anger mixed with lust and the need to kill becomes even greater and almost overwhelming when his brother Alan is marked by a demon. Dun dun dun. Alan, who is smart, nice, selfless, and is trying to help the other two kids, Jamie and May, it always seems like the nice guy either finishes last or is always marked by some type of demon. Always. It's always the nice guy. Nice guys out there. Gotta go bad. Get yourself a leather jacket. Go get yourself a bike. Maybe hang around with the wrong crowd. I'm not saying doing anything wrong. I'm just saying, you know, it looked bad so you don't get marked by a demon. Some friendly help from your neighborhood radio show host, Chris Froelich. Listen to me or don't. I'm just trying to help. I'm just Alan, who is smart, nice, and selfless, is being marked by a demon. He's also trying to help these two characters, Jamie and May. Jamie has two marks in his death is almost certain as soon as he gets the third more of a matter of when, not if, sadly enough. And Alan helps him by absorbing one of the marks like a bodyguard for the president. He just jumps like, no, kind of a thing. Yes, the sound effects are completely necessary. Thank you for asking. A fact that utterly dismays Nick's brother. Why in the world would his idiotic brother put himself in danger like this? Who knows? People are stupid. Stupid is the stupid does. Hey, what movie is that from? Forrest Gump. There we go. Good job. Alan carries a crush on May, and that is perhaps part of it, but Alan has had many crushes since he has been trying to be loved for such a long time. So what is it? What is it that makes May do anything to keep her brother safe? Or why Alan wants to help their undeserving mother so much? He's completely unable to understand any of these feelings, as much as he is incapable of understanding written words on account of his dyslexia. Guys, I know people with dyslexia. That is some tough shnikes. is awful. Dyslexia is a disease of, it's not a disease, it's more of a dysfunction of the brain that causes somebody when they read something, for example, they read Kidstar, the K would be backwards, the I would be upside down, the S would be an 8, and the T would all of a sudden turn into a plane. I don't know. I don't have dyslexia, but I have heard people with dyslexia, I've had friends with dyslexia, and it's an awful thing, and they read things, and it doesn't make any sense, and I feel awful for them, but you know what, it happens, we all have something wrong with us, and you know what, it's given to us for a certain reason, and we just gotta own up to it. We gotta make it a superpower, if anything. But anyway, so he's completely unable to understand all of these feelings, and only understands that Alan needs to be saved at all costs. This is Nick. And even if the only thing that can save him is the death and blood of a dangerous magician. Yes, foreshadowing. All of a sudden, the hunter becomes the hunted as the brothers go after who are after them. Alan takes the brains of the operation as Nick becomes the fighter. Shocker! Nick is a character that makes it hard for the reader to connect with. It is so very hard to feel sympathy for Nick, but it's impossible not to feel for him. It's a really, like, you hate him, but you love him, and you love him, but you hate him. With cold and lifeless, he gives a feeling of anger and frustration that everyone has felt before. Because, as this is strength of the book and of its writer, through his eyes, through his mind that lacks something, we see the world of connection, this world of feelings that we as the readers know exactly what he doesn't know and what he is missing. Whenever Alan says something or touches Nick, Nick is puzzled. We just know that it's love, and it's love that is moving Alan. As is love that moves May to help Jamie. This book is about brotherly love and devotion, and it is fantastic. Being an older brother, I can easily relate to Alan's bond with Nick, ironic enough, every step of the way. Every single character that lacks a point of view comes into life via Nick's observation, and it is another sign of the writer's talent that all of them are so well developed. Jamie is a sweetheart and funny guy in the midst of such terrible things. May, the resilient one, and Alan, the one that carries the world on his shoulders. After the incredible kick-butt, beautiful, sad, surprising, jaw-dropping climax... Oh, does that sound interesting to you? The kick-butt, beautiful, sad, surprising, jaw-dropping climax? That feels so fantastic that it might melt your face off? Yeah? That sound good to you? Yeah, you should probably read the book, guys. And Alan comes away as one of the strongest and giving characters I have ever had the pleasure to encounter. So guys, let's take a break. I'll be right back, hopefully. And keep it right here. I'm Christopher Froelich, and you're listening to Voice America Kids Network.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Is this mic on? Yeah. That's great. All right. You need my coffee? Where's my coffee? Are you spitting it? I don't want to spit my coffee. Oh, hey. Hi, guys. What? Get the freaking coffee. Thank you. Welcome back to the program Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your fabulous and yes, get the call, radio host. Our topic today, I'm Christopher Froelich, and I have a very poor lackey who obviously does not understand the meaning of creamer. And our topic today is The Demons of Lexington by Sarah Reese Remen. Remen. Anyway, it's called The Demons of Lexington. It's a great book. It's about demons. I'm going to give you a very general recap, guys, because, you know, I just went through two sections of this. If you didn't tune in, you're kind of so out of luck, sorry. But you know what? You can always, it's one of those great shows where it's been taped. You can go back, you can listen to it. I recommend it multiple times. Listen to my show multiple times. Anyway, that's subliminal messaging for you. So it's a great book. There's no real cliffhangers, but it's got a great climax. It'll just melt your face off kind of a climax. Great climax. Characters very well done. Oh my God, these characters are great. Especially Nick. Even though he's a little cold, he's kind of harsh and a little cynical. Great character, trustworthy, always fighting for his brother Alan. Love this character. Has a mother, Olivia. I'm sorry. I read Hamlet a couple weeks ago, and Ophelia stuck in my head. If you guys never read Hamlet, I recommend that too. But that's another segment for another time. Olivia, and she's a magician, and she's the mother of Nick and Alan, and she seems to be the problem in the story. She stole a magic amulet from a magician, and it's because of her that demons that she summons to become a more powerful magician seem to haunt Nick and Alan and attack them. And Nick, sadly enough, believes that, like, if his mother would just die, that they'd be better off, him and Alan, because he hates her so much for the sad tragedy that happened when Nick and Alan's father died protecting them from the magician. And then sadly, even like, to put salt on the wound, Alan was crippled in this accident, and his mother wasn't even there to help. So Nick is the main warrior in the family. He fights demons with his sword. Alan, on the other hand, is kind of like the Matrix Morpheus guy with the gun. He just, he's like dead on shot. You can't stop him. Kind of a guy. He's great. He's not useless, and he's mainly the brains of the operation with his little sidearm, 5mm, with the Nick with his magical powers and his double-edged sword kind of a thing going on. You know, it's a great book. So what else is happening is, I just kind of talked about more about the characters, how much I like them, how Nick and Alan are, like, they're always helping each other and how they love each other and they don't want anything ever to happen to each other, especially Nick. He will literally do anything for his brother, which is it's just great. And so I was kind of talking about the story about, Alan is, which is even worse because Alan at one point is marked by a demon. And if you're marked three times, you die. And there's this kid named Jamie who was marked two times. And as soon as he gets the third one, which is sadly enough more of a matter of when, not if. And Alan helps him by absorbing one of the marks like a bodyguard for the president. And Nick has no idea why he did that. Nick's just like, oh, my idiot brother. I tried to do everything to stop him. I've done everything for you, and this is what you repay me with. You take something for this worthless kid. I don't understand. But so yeah, you guys just go read. You'll listen to the segment back, and you'll really get the gist of it. But here, let me get to the end of it so I can get on my next book, which is a great book. And see, don't let the bleakness and the seemingly endless anger of Nick's feelings put you off to the book. I'm telling you right now. I mean, it is sometimes a difficult book to read, but in the end, there is a this understanding and recompense because of everything that has happened. Because there is lacking, yes, there is something is lacking. I did have moments of doubt when a teenager would be so angry all the time. I don't understand. Yes, I do. I'm a teenager too. But as soon as I realized where it was going and when I read what it did, I got kind of like I got a great unequivocal astonished, and I just love the ending. The characters shine in this book, but the plot is equally strong, and so are the details of the world. Sarah Reese Brennan is Irish historian set in the UK, and there is an insight into every day at a school, for example, rundown house and their shabby lace curtains, and it's so true over here, and that this is one of the reasons why I like it so much. It's got a very, like, it portrays the UK and things like that so well. Granted, I don't live there, but I've had friends that live there, and I've asked them about things when I read the book, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's, like, true. How do you know that? Oh, I'm reading this book. Oh, yeah. And I'm not even going to talk about the Goblin Market and the dancers. That's for you to discover yourselves. And don't be surprised if the Demon's Lexicon makes it on my top, it makes it in my top 10 list of books, guys. It was so good. So guys, that's the book. That's The Demons of Lexington by, Sarah Reese Brennan. Let's go on to my next one. And that is The Sons of Neptune by Rick Riordan. Rick Riordan? That sounds familiar. Wait, let me go through his other, you can pause it. You can pause it. I'll give you some time. Yeah. Pause it. Yeah. See, Rick Riordan is the guy that wrote, yes, the Percy Jackson novels. Oh, this is another Percy Jackson novel. Yes. Yes. Sweetness. Yes, it is. It's called The Sons of Neptune by Rick Ross Riordan. It's not actually, there's no Ross in it. It's just Rick Riordan. The Sons of Neptune begins with Percy Jackson being chased by the Grogan sisters. They intend to kill Percy to avenge the killing of their sister Medusa 4 years ago in The Lightning Thief. And again, great book. Reviewed it. Maybe you should check that out and you'd understand what I'm saying. This is a good idea. Let me pause this. Pause. Oh, I get it now. Lightning Thief. Great book. Percy Jackson. Rick Riordan. Since Percy has... anyway, guys, remember how Percy has amnesia and he does not know... he doesn't know why the sisters are chasing him, and he barely escapes with his life half the time. While escaping, he stumbles upon Juno, who gives him two options. To carry her through the Cattlecot Tunnel and across the little Tiber River... although he is warned that after crossing Tiber, he will lose the curse of Achilles, or he can retreat into the safety of the sea and live long and happy life. Percy chooses the carrier, being the hero that he is, and when he gets to Cattlecot Tunnel, he meets two other demigods, Hazel Levinsky and Frank Zhang. They manage to slay the Grogans, and Percy is to take the head of the camp, a girl named Renee. At the end of the day, he is made part of the fifth cohort that the ones with Frank and Hazel are part of, and prepares for the night's war games. During the war games, Percy and his friends impress everyone with their skills, and after the games, Mars appears. He claims Frank as his son and sends Percy, Hazel, and Frank to a quest to free Tantos, the god of death, who is imprisoned in Alaska. What a random state. You would think, like, oh, the prison... in the dark depths of Hades, or in the bottom of the ocean, or in the deep space of the moon. No. Just in Alaska. They're probably searching for Sarah Palin. Sorry, political joke. Only the quest, they bump into an old man named Phineas, who is all-knowing and all-seeing. He tells them that he will reveal the location of Tantos, who is imprisoned by the eldest of the giants, Aklinus. And if they capture a harpy named Aya and bring her to him. While they are going to capture Aya, they learn that she can memorize anything she reads and instead decide to make a gamble. Phineas and Percy, not Phineas and Ferb, will each drink a vial of Gorgon blood. One will kill, and the other will heal. Phineas ends up dying, and the trio discovers the location of Phineas's pocket, Herber Glacier. This is just one in a series of amazing challenges that the trio must overcome to free death and save their friends, and of course the world. So let's get to the main characters, guys. That's enough about the novel. Percy Jackson, who is a demigod, son of Poseidon, who was the main protagonist in the first Camp Half-Blood series. He and Jason Grace have been swapped, causing their the memories have been swiped, to be taken away, and Percy is sent to Camp Jupiter, the Roman equivalent of Camp Half-Blood, from which Jason originally came. He goes on a quest with Frank Zhang and Hazel Levingsquee to save Tantos, Pluto's lieutenant and the guardian of the Doors of Death. He succeeds, and at the end of the book, leads the Roman camp into battle against Glahia's forces and is made protector by the campers. His memories are restored at around the middle of the book as Percy drinks the Gorgon's blood when he is challenged by Phineas. Guys, could you honestly imagine drinking blood? I mean, I've tasted it in my mouth, and it's probably the most irony, disgusting liquid I've ever had the indecency to swallow. Could you imagine drinking an entire thing of it, and it's not even yours? Yeah, that'll cause some vomiting. It's like Ipecac down the throat. Anyway, guys, let's take a break. I need to go to sleep. They keep me up until 1 in the morning here. I'm going to get my Starbucks. I'll be right back. I'm Christopher Froley. Keep it right here on Voice America Kids Network.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun. Times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
1%. I don't want the 1%. I want the great value creamer. And the thing's on again. See, this is what... You're fired. You're fired. Anyway. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the program. We can edit that out, right? Welcome back to the program, Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm your host, Christopher Froelich, and our topic today previously was the book The Demons of Lexington by Sarah Reese Rarinan. But today we're going... Not today. But right now, we just started finishing up a little bit of a review on the book by Percy another Percy Jackson novel by Rick Riordan. That's Rick Riordan. I like the name Rick, if you haven't noticed. The Son of Neptune. It's another Percy Jackson novel. It encompasses the Lightning Thief. It's a great book. Let's give you another recap for those of you who just like to come in and burst everyone else's bubble and just go, hey, guys, I just got here. I'm late. What's going on? Let me ruin everyone else's time and try to figure this out. No, guys, you're completely welcome. I just recommend you listen to my show again. Yeah, you should listen to my show again. Yeah, it's a good idea. And the Sons of Neptune begins with Percy Jackson being chased by the Gorgon sisters. They intend to kill Percy with an avenging killing their sister Medusa 4 years ago in The Lightning Thief. Ooh, reference from a previous novel that I did a review on. Listen to my show again. Since Percy has amnesia and he does not know why his sisters are chasing him and barely escapes with his life, while escaping he stumbles upon Juno, who gives him two options: to carry her through the Caldecott Tunnel and across the Little Tiber River. Or he can retreat to the safety of the sea and live a long and happy life as a wussy. What? Wussy? Yeah. Called you out. So Percy chooses, because I called him a wussy, Percy chooses to carry her, and when he gets to the Caldecott Tunnels, he meets two other demigods, Hazel Levingskisk and Frank Zhang. They manage to slay the Gorgons, and Percy is taken to the head of the camp, a girl named Renee. At the end of the day, he is made part of the fifth cohort, and the one with Frank and Hazel are part of, and prepares the Knight's War Games. But then all of a sudden, the god Mars appears, and he claims Frank as his son. Frank, you are my son. No, that's Luke. See, aha, Star Wars reference. He claims Frank and his sons, and sends Percy, Hazel, and Frank on a quest to free Dantos, the god of death. You would think it would... The god of death wouldn't really need any saving, but, well, everyone needs help sometime. Who was imprisoned in Alaska, of all places. Go figure. On the quest, they bump into an old man named Phineas, not Ferb, Phineas, who is all-knowing and all-seeing. He tells them that he will reveal the location of Dantos, who is imprisoned by the eldest of the giant Aklinuses. They capture a harpy named Aya, and if they bring a harpy named Aya and bring her to him... And this Aya girl makes him drink some Gorgon blood, which is disgusting. I can't imagine drinking blood. Yeah. And one will kill and one will heal. One of the glasses, and they do. Phineas and Percy have to either drink one. Of course, the main character survives, and Phineas ends up dying, and the trio discovers the location of Phineas's pocket, Huber Glacier. Anyway, you'll figure out what I'm talking about when you read the book. Ooh, he's not going to tell us. That means I need to read it to understand. That is correct. You get $100. No, you don't, because I don't have that money with me at the moment. So I was talking about the character Percy Jackson, who's a demigod. He's the son of Poseidon. Who has the main protagonist in the first Camp Half-Blood series. He and Jason Grace have been swamped, causing their some of their memories to be taken away, and Percy is sent to Camp Jupiter, the Roman equivalent of Camp Half-Blood, from which Jason originally came. He goes on a quest with Frank Zhang and Hazel Levisque to save Tantos, Pluto's lieutenant and the guardian of the Doors of Death. He succeeds and at the end of the book leads the Roman camp into battle against Gaia's forces and is made protector of the campers. His memories are restored, and around the middle of the book, as Percy drinks the Gorgon's blood when he challenges Phineas. Frank Zhang, a demigod, son of Mars, supposedly, he is also related to Poseidon through his mother's family. He has the ability to shapeshift from his Greek ancestor, the prince of Pleios, Parsimelius, and is an excellent marksman with a bow. His life is linked to a stick of wood, and as his grandmother tells him, when it burns up, he will die. He is picked to lead a quest to free Tantos. He has a crush on Hazel. Despite Frank's father choosing him to lead the quest, Percy makes most of the team's decisions. By the end of the book, Frank decides to forget about worrying about how long he'll live and just do his duty as his mother would. Mars implies that this is what Frank will contribute to fulfilling the prophecy of Seven. Frank is the only knowing demigod of both Greek, Poseidon, and Roman Mars, descendant with different abilities from different gods. So he's not just a demigod, he's a demi-demigod. Making sense? Yes, of course. Hazel Levesque, a demigod daughter of Pluto, she was born in 1929 and lived in New Orleans. Her mother asks for the riches of the earth, and so precious metals and gems rises to the surface near Hazel, but they cause misfortune in those who keep them. She was tricked into raising Alcyonus in Alaska by Gaia and died in 1942. Nicol d'Angle rescued her from the fields of Asphodel, giving her a second chance. She is the third member of the trio that goes on a quest for Tantos. There's a lot of Greek and Roman words and names in this, if you haven't noticed. They're quite difficult to pronounce, and I can't promise you that I've been pronouncing them correctly the whole time. Unfortunately, I don't speak a dead language. That is called Latin. I'm not saying Greek's a dead language, but the way they're going in their economy, they might as well. Ooh, he said that. Here's a good joke. There's a German, a guy from Greece, and a guy from Italy. And they're all having lunch, and all of a sudden the bill comes. Guess who pays? That's right, Germany pays. Ha! And they pick up the tab because they have to pick up the debt on all everyone. You know what, guys? When you get older, you'll understand. Anyway. So, and then there's the other character called Renee, a demigod daughter of Bayona. She is a sister. If you guys don't get the joke, just ask your parents. It's going to make a lot of sense. They're going to be like, oh, this kid's kind of funny. He's a little political. I like this kid. He's got some intelligence. Yeah, that's not, you listen to this kid. He's like kids NPR. No, not really. Yeah, I wish I was like kids NPR. That'd be flattering. Renee, a demigod daughter of Bayona. She is a sister of Haya, Queen of the Amazons, and was on the Circles Island in the Sea of Monsters. Oh, another book! It was 10 books. You should probably read all 10. Yes, you should. She is a protector of the 12th Legion. Like all the other Romans, she has a tattoo on her arm that spells SPQR, or Centus Parisque Romanus, translating into the Senate of the People of Rome. She has dark hair and wears a purple cloak over her golden armor. Before Jason disappeared, she hints that she had a crush on him. That's some sick armor. I'd like some gold armor. I wonder how much that stuff would be worth at that point. Like solid gold armor. A, that would weigh a ton. And like gold now being at like what? I think it's like $300 an ounce. That would be absolutely ridiculous. So the other character is Aya. And she's a harpy, half bird, half woman. Ooh, sexy. She has red hair and feathers, gray eyes, and a bony structure. She was one of the harpies sent to torture Phineas by stealing his food. She has memorized a lot of books and can recite them word by word. She has extensive knowledge about the Romans and their culture. So here's my opinion real quick, guys. So Rick Riordan has done it again. He has made stuffy old Greek-Roman mythology fun and exciting. There are lots of plot turns and twists and quite a few humorous moments. I was happy to see Percy Jackson back and fighting bad guys and squashing giants, demons, gorgons, and other mystical beasts. I enjoy the interaction among the various characters and the way in which Mr. Riordan weaves the two stories together. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy and recommend this book to anyone 12 and older. In fact, my 11-year-old brother was caught several times being up late reading in the wee hours of the night. So I definitely, guys, you know, it can't be too young to read this book. It's a great book. So anyway, guys, that's it for the show. I'm Christopher Froelich. Thank you for staying right here and listening to me, Jammer. Hey, if you guys want a new position, I need a new coffee guy because my coffee guy's not understanding me. The whole creamer. Yeah, creamer. Anyway, thanks again. That's going to do it. Thanks for joining us. Listen to the show weekly on voiceamericakids.com. Contact us at voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. That's voiceamericakids@yahoo. That's ya and who.com. Mention our name in the show. That would be me, Christopher Froelich, the show Bookworm. Thanks again for listening, guys. Hope to see you soon. Stay handsome.
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show?
My name is Marissa from Starshine Academy, and I am a 7th grader. My class of 5th, 6th, and 7th graders are planning on going to Honolulu, Hawaii. We need your help with plane tickets, food, accommodations, and transportation in Hawaii. The trip is also an educational and cultural experience. A school in Hawaii has agreed to let us attend classes of our grade levels. We will be able to see how the teachers teach and how the students learn. It will be an honor if you do help us to achieve our dream. We want to see how different it is from the desert here in Phoenix. We would like to experience the marine life and see how pretty the nature is on a tropical island. My family has never been to any other part of the United States before. If we go, then my family will be happy because they will like me to go out and experience new adventures and be able to learn about different cultures there. Help us achieve our dream of a lifetime and experience what's on another side of the world. Please send your donations to www.starshineacademy.org.
The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.